I came across, I love that song, came across, you know, that's really a song that would be great to sing on that Sunday. I had no idea that they were working on it already. So we're going to be talking about the soul today out of the book of Proverbs, but let's pray first, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. We also thank you, Lord, that you have created us and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And Lord, as we look at our own lives, Lord, and how we may grow and be at peace and a sense of tranquility, that, Lord, we realize this, is that many of these things are complex, but our trust in you is not. Help us, Lord, then to trust you even during the times of storm. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to be talking about what the Proverbs say about soul care. So if you're reading through the Proverbs every day, so today would be the 30th, and if you need a copy of both New American Standard and the New Living Translation, there's still some out at the table out there at the information booth. But when you look through the book of Proverbs in the different ways it describes you, the inner you, it may say heart, it may say soul, it may say your mind, it may say living, breathing, whatever. We realize this, the Bible has a lot to say about your soul. I want to do a little bit of a theological background as to, well, where does it come from? Well, the Bible says that our soul was created. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God breathed life into Adam. He made Adam out of the dust. And then he says, God breathed life in Adam, causing Adam to become a living soul. All right? A living soul. Now, there's two versions or two ideas. There's actually a third, but I mentioned this beginning of the year when we talked about the soul some more, is the issues of where does that come from and when does it come? When does God breathe life? And so the issue is there's one theory, and I'm going to give you the big word because I know it, traducianism, and it says this, is it happens, God breathes life into every human being at the moment of conception. All right? Or there's a period by which God does that. All right? There's another group that believes, no, it doesn't, we don't have an example of him doing that again, that our soul is something that is transmitted by our parents, and so as soon as you're conceived, you're just, the soul kind of continues. Then there's a goofy idea that's not biblical, that there's somehow some warehouse up in heaven with a bunch of souls waiting around going, my turn, or something like that, you know. That's not biblical, all right? Though there are some people who hold to that. Well, it's not biblical, so you can't, I mean, you can hold to it, but it's not biblical. We know this, that our soul, whether that's described as your mind, your will, your emotions, your personality, whatever it be, God breathes it. It's from God. So, that's a significant thing. And once again, we don't believe that there's a warehouse in heaven. Hey, you know, that there's like a waiting list. Hey, my chance to do that. No. We know about the makeup of the soul, and it's different. There's a difference between how the Old Testament or the Hebrews looked at the soul and how the Greeks looked at the soul. Okay, the Hebrews looked at the soul, and here's a word that is often taken out of context, but it's a good word. They looked at the soul holistically. Body, soul, spirit, you're just one. You're just a person, right? So you can talk about your brain, which is physical, and your mind, which is not physical, right? But one without the other doesn't make much sense, right? I mean, if I just had a brain, what's the difference between that and my kneecap, right? They're just physical. But it's what happens in the mind, which is a miraculous thing of God's creation, right? So the Hebrews talked about it more holistically. In fact, we see here in Proverbs chapter 4, it talks about the blessing of walking in wisdom. Here's what it says. They are a life to those who find them and health to all their whole body or their whole being. So that's how the Greek, that's how the Hebrews looked at it. You can't separate it, right? But the Greeks looked at it differently. It's that we are separate body, soul, spirit. They somehow, now there are some verses that talk about how the Word of God can dissect even to the different aspects of soul and spirit, right? But here's what I really believe. I believe that we ought to look at ourselves. The issue of soul is about uniquely who you are. And I want to ask you this question. Don't answer out loud. How you doing? How's your soul doing today? Are you at peace? Are you kind of bugged? Are you agitated about something? Are you fretful? Is your mind a million miles away? Well, now, what am I doing here? I don't know. But I do know this, is that God created our soul for what purpose? God created our soul to be in relationship with Him and others. God created our soul to be in relationship with Him and others. There's no accident that we start each service, or we try to. We love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. We were created in relationship to God and others. I'm reading a book. I read it before, but I'm rereading it. It's called The Relational Soul. It's written by two pastors, former pastors, Plass and Kofelt. Here's some things I appreciate what they said. What does loneliness tell us? Be it chronic or acute, slight or significant, loneliness is proof of our relational design. At the core of our being is this truth. We are designed for and defined by our relationships with God and others. We were born with a relentless longing to participate in the lives of others. Fundamentally, we are relational souls. Our ability to make deep and emotional satisfying connections rests in our capacity to trust. We all know trust can be difficult. Early life relationships, programming, and patterns of attachment can serve as blueprints for relationships later in life, whether good or bad. But no matter our condition, God is out to reclaim and to restructure the deepest terrains of our human soul by helping us to shed off a false self and put on a redemptive true self that He has created. Friends, if you're here today and you're struggling, well, join the crowd. You know, so am I, right? What's not to struggle about? Life's a struggle. That's why keep me safe when the storm passes by. Sometimes, man, it seems like it's just one storm after another, you know. That's all right. Because I'm created in relationship with God, and what the Lord is doing through every storm and trial is kind of ratifying and strengthening the fact that I was created to be in communion with Him and with one another. And it isn't interesting that the devil, what will he try to do for first and foremost? He will try to say, no, here's the solution. When you have troubles, run from God and run from others. What did Adam and Eve do? They sinned. They started hiding from God. Are you hiding from God this morning? Well, first of all, you made a good choice to be in church today. That's a good choice. Because here's what the Word of God is powerful. It's able to penetrate even to the division of soul and spirit. So you're in the right place today. Whatever you're struggling with, maybe you're not struggling at all. Let's get some time together because I could use the encouragement, you know. I'm kidding. Things are going pretty good. Next, we know about the soul, that the soul can be wounded. Back in the mid-80s, I was getting ready to go to about a three-week to a month-long trip into Central America to visit some missionaries and go to some islands, the island of Roatan. I was playing basketball at the YMCA in Edina, Minnesota, and some big guy hacked me on the top of the head, and it gashed my head open. It was bleeding. I kept playing because I couldn't feel it. All of a sudden, the guy goes, hey, man, you're bleeding. Okay? So I go, I'm bleeding. I said, well, I had to probably get some stitches. So I drove myself to the hospital, right? And then my wife got upset why I didn't call her, you know, to drive. I mean, go figure, right? I was just being a man, you know, drive to the hospital. Well, they shaved it. They put some stitches in. Then I told the guy, hey, listen, I'm leaving in the morning to go to Honduras. I said, what do I have out? He goes, well, come back in a week, get the stitches out or whatever. I said, well, what do I do? He says, well, how about this? You can go to a clinic down there. I'm thinking, I don't think so. You know, go to a Honduran clinic. You know, I realize that's biased. But so I found that there was a nurse that went along, and ultimately they would get, you know, make sure the sutures were out. That's when they used to do that. But part of it is that we can be wounded. I had to watch it because now I'm in the tropics, right? And I'm trying to keep a wound in my head from getting infected, right? Seemed like an important thing. So I'm being very diligent about it. But friends, we want to talk about the wounding of your soul. I've met people who their soul has been wounded by betrayal of those closest to them, maybe by parents or loved ones, maybe by a spouse. They've been wounded by rejection, being chosen last at basketball, not being invited, not being part of the team or group. Sin can wound us. The loss of something dear to us can wound us. Abuse can wound us. And so we have a wounded soul. And we can respond to people or situations based upon that wounding. Here's a warning. I want everyone just, if you get nothing else, be careful when your soul tries to fix itself. Right? Because the Bible says, even in laughter, the soul may be in pain. And we try to solve it by filling our lives with busyness, hard work. Or, if that doesn't work, I'm going to dull the pain with alcohol, right? I know people struggle with that. I used to struggle with that. I struggled with that as a teenager. One of the greatest problems today in America is the opioid epidemic. People saying, well, you know what, I got to get free from this pain. And then you get addicted to opioids. Some get addicted to gambling and loose living, sensuality. People get addicted to their cell phone. You would think that you had removed someone's eye or arm to say, hey, where's my cell phone? I grew up, we had one phone in our home, and it was in the kitchen, and it had a cord on it about this long. Those stretchy cords, right? How did we survive? I don't know, right? And if you tried to call my house after 9 o'clock, you'd hear it from my mom. Why are you calling after 9? Why you call during dinner? But see, we feed our soul with the things that God doesn't say to feed our soul with. I'm not anti-cell phone. I got one up in my office. But here's the point. When our soul is wounded, we often try to heal it with the wrong things. Drugs, accumulation of stuff, isolation, self-hatred, suicide. I want to recommend a ministry in our church, Celebrate Recovery. They meet on Friday nights. They meet as a community of love. There's a meal. There's some wonderful singing. Then they get down to brass tacks. Because even in the Christian community, we wrestle with how to heal our soul appropriately. And it takes a lot of, at times, swallowing our pride, saying, man, I don't really need any help. We all need help. Man, about 3 years ago, we got back from taking Carly to her Lyme treatment. And then a year after that, she's in the hospital with septicemia. And I didn't even know what, and she's almost dying. We spent 7 days in the hospital at Sutter. And it pushed my marriage to the limit. I'm sleeping in the hospital. And you know what Sue and I did? We cried out for help, and we started meeting with a counselor who specifically could help pastors. Why? Because, and I also told my elders and told my friends, hey, listen, we're struggling. We're breaking under the load of this. Our soul is weary. Friends, the devil wants you to somehow think that you can do it all alone. You cannot. You cannot. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's exactly what will happen if you try to deal with soul care by yourself. But the Lord said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Amen? All right. So here we go. So the soul can be wounded, but also we know that the soul is resilient and can be restored and healed. Isn't that good news? I got to tell you about my Gacky. She's my great-grandmother. She was born in 1881. She was one of the most gracious ladies I've ever known. Right there by her chair was her Bible. I inherited her hymnal. And she was so thrilled. She was given that hymnal because she was the organist for the Methodist Church. And she was given that hymnal back in like 1921 or something like that. And then she would have all of her best friends sign their name by their favorite hymn. So I have that. It's one of my cherished items. How could a woman like that be so gracious? If anyone should have been bitter, I mean, she went through, she lived through the Spanish-American War. World War I, war to end all wars. During that period of time, her son, driving his bicycle at dusk in Ukiah on Dora Avenue, gets struck by a car and dies. How do you recover from the death of a child? Several years later, after the Great Depression hits and they lose everything, her husband, my great-grandfather, deserts her, left her. He goes, in her diary, Harvey has left me for the world. Lord, be with him. What? Then the Second World War, and you got all kinds of stuff, and then ultimately she would get arthritis so bad that she could no longer play the piano or the organ, which she had played, for 50-plus years. If anybody had the right, man, you ought to just be bitter grandma. But you know what poured forth from her? Grace. Now, she did not appreciate when we tried to ride our bikes home at night. I never knew until later on, and my grandmother explained to me, well, you need to realize is that my brother, he died on Dora Avenue because he was riding his bike at dusk. So she's going to be a little sensitive to that. Friends, by God's grace and mercy, our souls can be restored. Amen? So we want to look here what the Bible says, what it says in Proverbs. There's so much more to say. What does the book of Proverbs say about the guarding of our soul? So I want to start here in chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, and do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. I want to stop there. A couple words already. The words heart, midst of your heart, they are life who find them, and health to the whole body. Remember I said about the holistic view of the Hebrews, right? These words are going to help your life. That's what it says. These words are going to help you. Then it says this, verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you deceit for, a deceitful mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all the ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Turn your foot from evil. Well, we want to look here. In a describing the soul and how we're supposed to protect the soul, he uses this the actual image of the human body. And the first thing he says is this, incline your ears to wisdom. All right? Open your ears to wisdom. My son, give attention to my words and incline your ears to my saying. I appreciate in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the same thing was said to the Berean church. They received the word with readiness. They were opened ears. I pray that that's the case for each one of us here today. They're all ears. But it says to use them wisely. Do you make good use of your ears, listening carefully when wisdom is shared? It's so easy to tune people out. So easy to tune the pastor out or whoever's preaching, whatever. Just tune them out. You got other things, pot roast to think about? What are you going to do after church? Tune your ears to the Word of God. Next, focus your eyes. Do not let them depart from your eyes. The eyes should be fixed on wise teachings and a wise diet. This implies careful reading of that which imparts wisdom. Do we make good use of our eyes in reading and the things that we allow into our eyes? So if you want to be a wise, your soul to be strong, make sure you got good things coming through your ears, and you make sure you have good stuff coming through your eyes. And there ought to be some things that your ears hear. You say, I don't need to hear that. That's not right. That's not truth. Or there ought to be things that when your eyes see them, you turn your gaze away. He goes on. Apply your heart to wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 21. Keep them in the midst of your heart. The heart in the Bible often refers to the mind and affections of a person. It implies meditation upon the things we have heard and read. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will stand guard in your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Then it's finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, whatever is good repute or anything, excellence or praiseworthy, let your mind meditate on these things. All right? So that's the issue of our heart. So here's a question. What are you meditating upon? I'm not talking about contemplating your navel. I'm talking about meditating upon the truths of God and the glory of God. So we see here in our own soul therapy, first of all, making sure that the good stuff is coming through our ears, our eyes, and into our heart. The benefits of that therapy or doing that are found right here in verse 22. Look here. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. So how do you grow your soul? How do you keep it going? Well, make sure that you're open to the Word of God, that you're looking at the right things, that you're allowing the good stuff, you're meditating on the great stuff of God's truth. Some voice is going to tell you, you're not as good as the next person. You may make decisions out of fear and insecurity. You know, that didn't come from God. If you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, you know, you're a child of the King. Not too bad. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And if someone makes you think that you're chump change, that you're lint, you're nothing more than lint in a pocket, then that's not the voice of God. So the benefits of soul therapy are this. These words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. John 6:63, Jesus said those words. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Jesus Christ brings the words of life. Okay. So here we go here. It says how to do this. And first of all, it says in verse 23, guard or watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. We ought to be careful of what our heart falls in love with. All right? So let's love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first command, right? That's what we got to do. The next it says, watch out, put away from you deceitful mouth and perverse things from your lips. Are you careful about what comes out of your mouth and lips? Next, it says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before them. Be careful of the things that you gaze upon or that you allow to fascinate you, right? If your soul's only going to be happy when you get the brand new Range Rover, then you're going to be solely disappointed. I used to own one. It was a used one. In New Zealand, we bought a used Range Rover. What a mistake that was. It was beautiful. It's the most beautiful ride I've ever been in my life. But it was always broken. And praise God I got the extended warranty thing on it. I don't know what would have happened. But I got to be real good friends with the mechanic, the Range Rover mechanic. Friends, if your life is, well, I will only be happy if I go to this school, if I have this amount of money, if I have this size of a house, you're going to be disappointed in life because your eyes are focused on the wrong things. Next, your feet. Ponder, says this, Proverbs 4:26. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Think about the direction of your feet and they're taking you. Work towards walking on an established ways that God has and not unstable ones. It says, do not turn to the right or to the left. Here's a question. Are you careful about where your feet are taking you? You know, are you careful? Walk carefully. There ought to be some places you should not go. All right? Or you're just looking for trouble, right? Don't go down that alley. Closing this now, how can we possibly really care for our soul? So read the book of Proverbs because once again, your ears, your eyes, and your heart are now open to God's truth and direction and correction. Amen? So that sounds good to me. So when you read the book of Proverbs, don't read it, "Oh, I'm so glad that I read this because the person's sitting right next to me, they really need to read this too." And they may need to, but please allow the Word of God to speak to you first, right? People ask, "Well, how do you, you know, you get nervous before you preach?" And I'm like a racehorse, you know. Hey, man, let me at it. But here's the scary thing: every word that I say, I'm going to be held accountable for before the Lord. And I better be applying these truths to my own personal life, or I'm a hypocrite. So that's how I do it. I'm wrestling too. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Most loved piece of passage of Scripture, most well known in all of the planet, is the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and beside still waters. He restores my soul." Do you need your soul restored today? You're not going to get it restored outside a relationship with the shepherd of your soul. That's how it works. You're going to try to do it yourself, then you're going to crash and burn. You're not going to do it by getting richer or getting drunker or getting funnier or getting more popular. You're not going to get it by accomplishing every goal you have. What can you give in exchange for your soul? The answer is nothing. Here's the solution. You develop a deepening relationship with the shepherd. So when Jesus shows up, and in John chapter 10, he says, "Hey, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come you might have life and have it abundantly." And then he rocked the world and he said this, "I am that good shepherd." Friends, if you want your soul to be well today, find Jesus Christ and walk with him. Don't mess around with it. Because your soul is eternal. And it's either going to go to a place where he is or a place where he is not. That's what the Bible says. And you don't want to be the place where God is not. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 29. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your weary soul." Come to me. Well, I did that when I was 16 years old, so that's the only time I got to do it. You know what my Savior is saying? "Gary, keep coming to me. Keep leaning on me. Take my yoke, not your yoke, not the world's yoke. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light." When I was a kid, I was much younger, I was probably in college, I wrote, early married person, I was going through a time of fog in my life, and so I wrote a song about that. "A fog descends upon my soul, why it comes again I do not know. It clouds my mind and cools the spark, lays like a blanket over my heart. The fog, it comes from no clear source, from the cluttered maze of this world's rewards. Oh, please, dear Lord, remove those things to help this mist and haze to bring. And I will not fret when the floods run high, nor will I fear the stormy skies, but I'll claim your word and defeat the lies. And the fog will lift as I gaze into your eyes. The fog will flee as it meets the light. The word of truth burns hot and bright. I'll serve my Lord and accept my lot, for he is the king and I'm not. Into his lap he calls me now to burn away the foggy shroud, to find in him a mind that's clear, filled with the dreams that he holds dear. And I will not fret when the flood runs high, and I will not fear the stormy skies, but I'll claim your word and defeat the lies, and the fog will lift, and the sun will rise, and the mountains quake as I gaze into your eyes. Friends, I've learned, of any secret I've learned in my life, I have to fix my gaze on Jesus. I have to desire to walk closer with Him. That's the solution for your soul. The Apostle Peter says it this way, Jesus Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. And you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardians of your soul. Friends, your life's filled with stormy things. People get sick, or people can let us down. Things get scary, don't they? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And even though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Do you know the shepherd today? How's your soul doing? If you're straying away and you're far away, then here's a great verse. Confess your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says the Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And Jesus Himself says to each one of you, come to me. If you're weary today, come to Jesus. If you've already received Him, then call out to Him again. Help me, Lord. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, then here's the scary thing. Then your soul is on its own. You're trying to do your own thing. And that's not how you were created. You were created, your soul was created to have fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. The solution, if you don't know Christ, is to cry out in prayer. Simple as ABC. First of all, admitting your need for God and you're a sinner. Only God can even shine the light to show you that. But then you believe, the B is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Then it tells us to confess Him as both Lord and Savior. And so do those things. You do that through prayer. It says, and the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. Today, if your soul's struggling, you've never received Christ, then receive Him now. Cry out to Him. Then confess Him. Let someone know that. Give me a call. Write it on the card. Hey, I received Christ. I pray. Tell someone. But if you already are a believer and your soul is struggling, then here's what I would encourage you to do. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, since we have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every sin and encumbrance which so easily entangles us and run the race that is set before us with endurance. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising its shame, is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who has suffered such hostility by sinners against Himself, that you may not grow weary or lose heart. The solution to soul care is fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep things real with Him. keep things current with Him. Amen? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You that You are the shepherd. You created our soul. And it, as complex as it is, Lord, we're to cry out to You. You're the one who's the guardian and shepherd of our soul. So help us, Lord, to depend upon You. Forgive us for the times we've tried to heal our soul on our own merits by some other method. But Lord, help us to come to You. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a cappella. This is, you may not know it, but I know it, so I'll do the best I can. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend. Through thorny ways, leads to a joyful end. Our Heavenly Father, take us from here. Help us to read the book of Proverbs to help our souls be stronger and safer, to bring healing, as You promised, Lord. Strength to our whole life. So, Lord, we thank You for these truths and use our lives now for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.